There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Remember the phone line and the text line, 343-0106. Plus, you can use the brand new FM Talk 106.5 app that's free and waiting for you over at Google Play if you're an Android user, or at the App Store if you're an iPhone user. And just look for FM TALK 1065. That's our app. Download it. It has a feature there on the front, the same screen you'll be streaming the station or accessing the podcast or social media feeds on. If you'll just mash that button, to put it in a high-tech term. It has a microphone icon. If you'll just touch that microphone icon, you can leave us a message. It sends it to us here, and we can play it back on the air. So use that feature as well with the FM Talk 106.5 app. And once again, y'all, I said last hour, and I know we talked about it during the morning show, all of you that showed up at Fairhope Brewing Company last night for the guest bartender event, you're amazing. You're amazing. Last night, raising over 20, we're now over, and looks like it's still growing, actually, in the next day, today, over $2,500 for Team Fight or Die in last night's event. So thank you to everyone who came out. Good to visit with you, and I can't wait to see that crew again very, very soon. All right, mentioned when we went to the news, we'd have a discussion here of, and this is a good one, because it's one of something that's going on right here in our backyard that maybe you don't know about this whole group, and then beyond that, the challenges they're facing right now. We're joined by John Kilpatrick from Veterans Recovery Resources. Welcome to Midday Mobile. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks for having me.
So let's. This is your elevator speech, right? When hey John, what is Veterans Recovery Resources?
So we are a private veteran run nonprofit. We're a 501c3, and our mission is to remove barriers to care for veterans, service members, first responders, and their families. And so we do that in a number of ways. The first of which is an outpatient clinic that we opened up in November of 2018. And since we opened that clinic, we've served over 580 service members, veterans, wow, first responders, and their families. And we do it in a really holistic approach. And it's not just a word. We literally provide primary care, mental health, substance use, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and we do it all in a very, what we call a culturally competent manner. Most of our staff are also veterans.
They'll all speak the same language.
We speak the language. Those who are not veterans have really dedicated their life to serving veterans. We practice what's called trauma-informed medicine, and we do that. What trauma-informed means is this: we just acknowledge that folks that are coming to us for care have experienced some sort of trauma or moral injury. Mm-hmm. And so it just is our predisposition to care for folks as if, you know, they've been injured. And so, and a lot of us have experienced moral injury or trauma, or, you know, have recovered from addiction. And so we have a lot of just personal knowledge.
Right.
But we say all the time at Veterans Recovery Resources, nobody is working there because they need a job.
Right.
You know, we are all there for many of us, myself included. You know, this is a second career. This is a passion. And it's such a desperately needed capability for our community, for our state, really for our whole country. And we can talk a little bit more about that. So we fulfill our mission of removing barriers to care by literally removing whatever barrier it is that would keep a service member, veteran, or first responder from getting care. And you would be amazed, Sean, at sometimes the difference between a veteran becoming homeless and a veteran thriving might just be a ride to an appointment.
Something that simple.
Simple. And so what we do is we fulfill and we remove those little ankle biter types of barriers with peer support. And so in addition to all the doctors and nurses and PAs and social workers and psychologists, all of these folks on our staff, we also have a number of veteran peer support specialists. And to be a veteran peer support specialist, a couple of requirements. One, you have to be a veteran. And two, you have to be in long-term recovery from some sort of issue. And so, you know, we have some that have recovered from, you know, post-traumatic stress. Some have recovered from addiction, alcoholism. But it's really the key is a lived experience.
So when this person is talking to that veteran that walks through the door, they don't just say, I understand.
They
really understand.
That's right, because they've been there.
Yeah.
And so the way it works and why it's so magical, so you can imagine, so our clinical director, Dr. Joe Curry, are phenomenal psychologist. I mean, literally world-renowned for his work on moral injury. Most military folks, especially if you're a combat veteran, we don't trust people with initials behind their name like PhD, MSW,
right.
MD. You know,
yes.
we call folks like Dr. Courier the Wizard.
Okay.
You know, we don't want him messing in our head, right?
Right.
But the way we do it is so when you walk in the door, you're going to be greeted by a veteran peer. So, you know, almost every interaction, you call the number, the phone is going to be answered by a veteran peer. And so ahead of your appointment with Dr. Courier, you know, somebody's going to say, hey, man, Dr. Courier, you know, he's going to, like, be up in your head. He's a little whacked out. You know, he's one of those intellectual guys, but just do what he says. I did it, and it worked for me.
You could to add trust to this.
That's exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. So the peers are really the trust broker.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of veterans, you know, that trust has been betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a kind of a component of trauma, you know, especially combat trauma, you know, where you did something that was maybe against what was your moral code, but it was your job.
Mm-hmm.
So you've kind of betrayed yourself a little bit. Or you witnessed a leader, you know, make a bad decision or betray a unit's trust. Or, you know, I mean, it's almost always comes down to trust.
So you're mending that.
Well, we're mending it, but we're also building it in an entire system of recovery. And so the whole thing relies on trust. And that's why it's so important that we treat not just the service member, veteran, or first responder, but also their family, their caretaker, you know, their whole system.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and, you know, we do a lot in the community because for, you know, you can go back as far as Homer and learn about how a warrior is changed by war.
And y'all, he's talking about the Greek Homer, not your uncle. Yeah, he's
way back. Yeah, hopefully that reference wasn't above everyone's head.
No,
but it's the story as old as time. I mean, we have sent people to war. War changes the person that goes to war, but it also changes the community that sends them to war. And so we have to mend both. So we don't prescribe to this narrative that veterans are somehow broken, or, you know, we don't even use the term post-traumatic stress disorder. We are not disordered.
Right.
You know, we are having a perfectly normal human reaction to a very disordered event. You know, combat is very disordered. And the responses that we have are traumatic, and it's a trauma response, but it's certainly not disordered.
Right.
It's normal.
Yeah, the normal reaction to that.
That's right. And so, you know, the things that we do, the therapies we provide and the education we provide is really just teaching people how to deal with what they've experienced, which is traumatic.
Yeah.
It's teaching coping skills, you know, because just like addiction, you know, you hear folks that are recovering from alcoholism or drug addiction, you know, they always say, I'm a recovering addict or recovering alcoholic, because it doesn't end.
It's an active verb there.
It's an active verb. Yes. And trauma, you know, post-traumatic stress, it doesn't go away. You know, it's a...
But you said there's coping... You're talking about the coping mechanism.
That's right. And it's, you know, it's really just a... It's a... You know, it's something that happens in our brain, and we just don't file that memory as a memory. We file it as a traumatic experience, and so we just keep reliving it. And so that's... Those are the sorts of things that we talk about with folks. And it's, you know...
500... I mean, I'm going to go back to the number of folks you've served. 500 plus?
580 folks thus far. We opened in November of 2018.
Quite a testament there.
It really is. And you can go to our website, vetsrecover.org, and or better yet, go to our YouTube channel and watch some of the testimonial videos of the veterans and first responders who've been through our program. It's truly life-altering, the experience that folks get. And not just for them, but for us, too, because... Like I said, most
of us... I see that smile on your face when you talk about that.
Well, most of us are veterans in recovery.
Yeah.
And so to be able to give it away is the key to keeping it.
Is that part of your recovery to help out others recover?
This whole thing is just a result. I mean, the whole thing grew out of my own personal recovery. You know, I like many combat veterans today, I was in the Marine Corps from 1986 to 96. Semper Fi,
yes,
all you devil dogs out there.
We got a bunch around here. You know?
And, you know, went to Desert Storm, like a lot of folks, and I came back, you know, struggling with the same types of post-war, you know, things that warriors deal with.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I dealt with mine the way, you know, generations of my family dealt with it, mainly with alcohol. And so, you know, I went through about 5 years of that, and I got sober in 1996. And, you know, anybody that's ever spent any time in recovery knows, you know, the only way to keep it is to give it away. So, you know, I've been doing that for 20 plus years, not as a professional, not as a clinical provider, just as, you know, one guy trying to stay sober by helping the next fella.
Well, it's obviously borne a lot of fruit and helped a lot of people in that process. And to bring in this light, when we come back, I'm going to talk about this, because talk about the people you've served now, but the ability to serve more people in a bigger way around here. That's a challenge y'all are facing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the residential capability is really was the key gap. And what I identified in my own recovery is I could get guys, you know, kind of ready to go, but there was nowhere to go.
Let's talk about that when we come back, getting them a place to go. Our guest, John Kilpatrick, Veterans Recovery Resources, and we'll continue the conversation in just minutes. News is next.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. That's my buddy Trey, 14 years now in Mobile and Baldwin County, getting rid of junk. Now, I'm not saying I looked at your house, but if folks are coming in for the holidays here, remember you used to have a guest room, and that's where all those boxes are piled up? It's okay to have a junk drawer in the kitchen, probably not a junk room. Hey, get Trey and the crew to help you out with that. Or like me, he's helped us out here at the radio station with a storage unit, helped me get in a house ready to sell. You got junk, you want it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and it's as easy as going online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or picking up the phone and calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and they set an appointment. How about this? And it's none of that, like, sometime between Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. and Friday at 8 p.m. No, they find a day that works for you, a window of time that works for you, and set a good old-fashioned appointment. They show up, you show them what you want moved, they quote you a price. If you say yes, they get to work right then, get it done, and get it gone. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And a conversation that is I know that John Kilpatrick is going to have to come back and talk with us more from Veterans Recovery Resources, because we've just in conversation during the news break, so many other things to get into. But I want to talk about the latest thing here for you. You talk about 580 veterans served here, and this this inpatient or having a place for these people to come into and stay, right?
Right. So,
because y'all got a big grant too. You just got a $4 million grant.
We did, and so it's, you know, this thing is really complicated, but it's not. So
okay.
We've got three lines of effort at Veterans Recovery Resources. So we have our outpatient clinic, which we just received a $4 million SAMHSA grant to expand it to become a certified community behavioral health clinic. So all of those funds are operational funds dedicated to expanding our outpatient clinic.
Okay.
That's huge.
It is huge.
It is huge. And so you'll see lots of new things. It's allowing us to do all of the community integration things that we want to do in the community. And really, the beauty of that model that SAMHSA has adopted is it was our model from the beginning. So it's an integrated care model based in community care. That's how we do medicine in the military. That's how we've been doing it at Veterans Recovery Resources. So this grant is perfect because we already met. I mean, when we got the grant, we met 75%.
But you're already doing it. You're already doing the
yes.
stuff. Yeah.
And so it's really cool to see all these new CCBHCs around the country trying to figure it out.
Y'all already got
it
figured out.
Our business plan from the beginning.
Gotcha.
So that is that funding is separate. So the real I told you from my own recovery. I knew that we needed to get a detox and residential treatment facility in South Alabama. So right now, there are only two in the state. They're both in Jefferson County. So one of them is called Pearson Hall. I don't know a whole lot about them. I think they're a nonprofit organization. And the other one is Bradford Health Services.
They're both up in Birmingham, Eric.
Both in Birmingham. And so... as you know, you mentioned Trey. That's funny because we hired 1-800-GET-JUNK to clean out the building when we bought it in 2018.
Because I love it.
This historic school in Midtown has been empty for 12 years.
And that's where y'all
when
are
we from. Bought it. Yeah, and so which is awesome because we're able to get we got blight removal CDBG funds from the city. We got money from the county. I mean, this is a huge economic development project right in the middle of Midtown. You know, we're about to put $8 million into a historic school building to preserve it and turn it
into
At the
same time,
something.
You're helping our veterans.
And so we opened the outpatient clinic in 18. And so we've been raising money to build this residential detox and inpatient treatment facility. And the plans are drawn, like we're ready to go. And we have to get a certificate of need, right, from the State Health Planning Development Agency.
That's come up before. For people to understand that, so you can't just do it. You have to ask the state.
That's right. So what happened is we applied for a certificate of need. This was back in August. And according to the state health plan, there's no need.
But you just told me that the other facilities are in Birmingham.
That's correct. And so the state health plan doesn't accommodate any geographical differences. There's just a count of beds needed in the state. And if they're in the state, they meet the need. And so that's part of. So if you use the formula that the State Health Planning and Development Agency uses, they get to 458 residential substance abuse beds needed in our state.
They have a formula somehow.
They have a formula, okay. Yes. It's a little flawed in the math, but that's the formula. And so 458 beds is what the state health plan says we need. We currently have over 800 beds. So according to the state health plan and the documents that Bradford filed in opposition to us, we have 350 more beds than the state health plan says we need. But on the same report, which is published by the Alabama Department of Mental Health, Substance Abuse, they publish weekly a substance abuse bed report.
Okay.
It says we got 800 beds. It accounts for the limited capability because of COVID and that sort of stuff. And then the last column on the report, Sean, is the number of people on a waiting list. And that
I'm
number,
missing something here.
That number has been the lowest we've seen it in the last year is 563 people on a waiting list to get into a residential substance abuse bed, and it's been as high as 744 within the last month.
But you just told me that there's this 800 beds.
Correct. So that's the flaw. So when we applied for a certificate of need, the board, they didn't disapprove our application. They refused to accept it because there was no need. And so the next option is to apply for an adjustment in the state health plan, and that's what we've applied for, is an adjustment to add these 34 beds in Mobile County to provide detox and residential treatment, and that is what Bradford Health Services has opposed.
So they're saying that down, because their thing's in Birmingham, but they're saying down in Mobile, can't have 34 beds because there's no need, even though you just told me there's a waiting list with how many people?
Well, that's the really strange thing, Sean. So it's hovered between the lowest number in the last year, 563. The highest number was just 3 weeks ago, which was 744. Since we filed this and Bradford filed opposition, miraculously, the report this week says there's only 131 people.
It's an amazing thing.
It is amazing. But if you look in Mobile County, there's still 87 people on that list.
Can I hold you over the news break? Because we're up against a hard,
all day,
hard break.
Brother,
all right,
here for you.
Coming right back. John Kilpatrick, our guest. And we'll talk about the situation right now and how to get these 34 beds here in our area, our part of the state.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. And check in with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And I mean, we're getting, like, especially for this year, Angelo, I mean, I'm really starting to think about doing my Christmas shopping. So what's been popular at the shop?
A little bit of everything. Of course, a lot of people have been coming in buying our favorites, the Open L knives.
Good.
Just sold the last one of the gardening sets we had in stock. That's been really popular. A lot of people are sort of going for the basics. They're looking at the 1 ounce silver rounds, the silver bars, even the smaller pieces of gold, and sort of going really back to that, hey, let's give something that has value for Christmas. You know, gold, silver, things of that nature. And we're still selling quite a lot of jewelry. I've been pleasantly surprised with that as well. So it's hard to really pick one most popular item, Sean. But then again, we've got a lot of stuff to choose from.
That's for sure. And people can check that out. We'll talk about it in a second on your eBay page as well as in person. And I've asked you this before, but I'd like to reset this. For those that are thinking about getting that engraving done like on a silver round or something for all the grandkids or the kids or whatever to make it even more special, kind of what's your lag time on that?
Right now, about 2 to 3 days.
Okay.
So if you came in today and you picked out some of those Christmas rounds, the Patriotic Santa, the Snowman, whatever it was you liked, by Friday afternoon, you're going to have those, you know, ready to be picked up with the engraving on it. And I would like to remind people, you know, the kids' initials, maybe their first name is great. You know, love, Sean, you guys are the greatest. Hope to see you again next year. No, that's not going to fit. Sorry.
Right. Yeah. The font isn't small enough. So yeah. But maybe before somebody comes in, kind of think out what they want to put on those rounds.
Oh, definitely. You know, get a list together. You know, we have people come in, they'll look for one item, and all of a sudden they realize, man, those engravables are perfect. Not only do we have the holiday ones, we have the military themes, just the love and faith based pieces. So you can get those for pretty much anybody in the family, even if Santa is not cool to that person anymore. Get them one of the police rounds or the religious themes. There's a lot of cool stuff there. And with it being personalized, it's pretty much a win at that point.
You got that right. All right. Tell folks how to find you online and in the real world.
Yeah, online, mobilebaycoins.com. You can also like and follow us on Instagram and on Facebook. Real World, 2204 Government Street, right in the heart of Midtown. You can always listen to us talking about all the cool stuff going on every Tuesday night on FM Talk 106.5 from 6 to 7 p.m.
Angelo, I appreciate it. We'll be seeing you soon.
I'm looking forward to it.
There he is. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Continue our conversation with John Kilpatrick, Veterans Recovery Resources. And I was looking at a stat here during the break. John, you were showing me that our state of Alabama, ranks 50th in mental health?
That's right. So one of the claims that Bradford makes in their opposition to our request for an adjustment.
So this company, once again, to reset, people are joining. This company, Bradford, there in Birmingham, is saying that y'all can't have these.
It's also important, Sean, to note that they are owned by a private equity firm in New York.
Aha.
So they're corporate-owned for-profit.
And they say that your group here, you can't have 34 beds.
That's right, because they make another a number of claims in their opposition, and to their credit, I mean, some of them are valid because the state plan is so antiquated. But based on the plan, some of their claims are valid. That's why we're asking for an adjustment.
Right.
But a couple of the claims are just just downright false. And so they claim that they have, first of all, they claim that veterans are not an underserved population in Alabama.
Now, how can they pull
I've been
that?
Working on the governor's suicide task force for over 2 years. We know for a fact that veterans kill themselves at a much, much higher rate. And we know that access to care for veterans is a huge problem. So Bradford, in their opposition, claims that they're going to take care of all those veterans. Well, if you can't pay, that Bradford's not going to take care of you.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that difference, too. The people you serve, talk about how that works.
Yeah, so we are a private nonprofit. We will care for any veteran, any service member, any first responder, regardless of their ability to pay. Our plans and our pro forma, what we've presented in our application, we're using the same business model for this residential detox facility. So anybody who needs it will be able to get it.
So any veteran...
Veteran, service member, first responder, or their family.
So the other facility, the Birmingham, the Bradford, that if they can't pay, they don't get in.
No. And what's crazy, Sean, is one of their community reps actually wrote us a letter of support for our original application.
Well, that's great.
Because here in Mobile, we have an incredible recovery community. We have an incredible group of professionals that work in recovery, and we work together to get people the treatment that they need.
Right.
And we all know that capability, for the most part, is Bradford, if you need detox and residential treatment. And so their local rep and Veterans Recovery Resource, we've worked together for 3 years. I mean, we've probably saved 10 lives.
Wow, together.
If they had a way to pay.
If they had a way to pay.
If they don't have a way to pay, we do like we did a couple of weeks ago, and we drive that fella to Lexington, Kentucky.
Or we
try to get them into, you know, try to get somebody to pay for their treatment in a for-profit treatment center. Or we send them to Texas. Or we, you know, get them to wherever we can get them.
Because they can't be, because...
Because if you don't have a way to pay, Bradford will not take you. And so they claim that they have over 200 veterans in their program now because they're a VA provider. What people don't recognize is of the 400,000 veterans in Alabama, only 26% of them are enrolled in VA health care.
Wow. I mean, that leaves
It's not all of them. They're not all uninsured. Some of them have private insurance. Some of them have TRICARE. But you have a large number of veterans in Alabama, especially our homeless veterans, some of the worst cases, the ones that actually need
need you the most,
don't have a way to pay, and for those veterans, they're just out of luck.
That's wrong. I mean, that's part of the deal we make with our our men and women in the military, that there should be a way for them to get the help they need.
So one of the other claims that Bradford asserts in their opposition is that if we open this facility, that we're going to somehow dilute the substance abuse and mental health workforce. That is the most absurd claim I've ever heard. We're basically going to jack the salaries up, and we're going to be stealing providers from other from them, I guess. But I would invite anybody in Alabama to go to americashealthranking.org.
Okay.
Nonprofit firm. They rank the health care of every state. Alabama is 50th. We're last place for mental health and substance use providers. Bradford claims that we're going to dilute the workforce. Okay. And I'm showing you a slide right now on my laptop. These are the students who have trained at Veterans Recovery Resources in the last 3 years.
Wow.
We have made
rows of people.
We have made 3 psychologists. We currently we have 5 PhD students, and these are not Alabama kids. These are kids who are coming from California, Illinois, Michigan to study under Dr. Currier at South Alabama and work at Veterans Recovery Resources. They came here because of us.
So you're adding to, not
we are adding to the workforce. Correct. So we've created 3 PhDs. We've created 3 masters in social workers, master's level social workers, and we've created 2 master's level mental health counselors. And we currently today have 5 PhD students enrolled, and we have a public health student from UAB, and we're about to take another social work student from Tulane. So we're literally creating a workforce.
Right.
And we're not diluting it.
So, and I'm looking through people saying, what can they do? I'm looking at the text coming in here.
We need two things.
Yeah.
We need money.
Okay.
Because as you can imagine, we would much rather be treating veterans.
Yeah.
But instead, we're hiring lawyers. We're having to travel. We're having to close the clinic to go up and make a show of support. So we need them to write their state legislators, contact their local officials. I don't want to publish the list of the members of the board.
But I am looking at this.
They are public information. So go out to the state secretary of state's website and look for the members of the state health coordinating council.
These are the people that vote on it.
Those are the people that will determine our fate on Tuesday. I would invite anybody who wants to join us. We've got a bus. We'll get another if we need it. We've got several veteran motorcycle clubs that are going to escort us up.
Right.
So we want a very large show of support in Montgomery at the hearing, which is at 10 o'clock next Tuesday, December the 14th, in Montgomery.
I mean, y'all are asking, once again, for people who are just, to reset this, y'all are just asking to be able to open 34 beds.
That's right.
The closest
to serve folks who are underserved and may or may not have a way to pay.
I mean, and the number of people in our community, I will say this, I don't think from what I know, 34 beds is enough. But
when we did the feasibility study in 2019, every single community partner, every single person in our recovery community, when we left the interview asking them if they thought this was needed, every single one of them said, you're going to be at capacity the day you open.
And I don't know what they know. And I had the same kind of gut reaction that
we know it.
And so the argument is being made that it's not needed, but we all just off the top say you're going to be full.
I mean, we've got documented support for this from the Gulf Coast VA healthcare center system. They know they can't treat everybody in Biloxi.
Right.
You know, it's gotten a lot better. You know, it used to be months waiting list. Now it's weeks. But still, when a veteran asks for help or shows up for help, we need it right now.
Right. If somebody hits that rock bottom, right? I mean, you can talk about it. If they hit that rock bottom, that's the day.
Well, I mean, we know that we don't like to ask for help.
Right. I know y'all don't.
And so we've delayed. We're the helpers. We're the problem solvers. And so we don't like to ask for help. And so we've already exhausted everything. By the time we get to walking in the doors of Veterans Recovery Resources, we need help today.
Mm-hmm.
Not next week. Not next month, and certainly not 4 hours away.
Absolutely.
We need it right here, right now. And it's documented. There's no question. But this is just another hurdle, another distraction along the way. We're going to get this done, and we're going to continue to live our mission. And our mission is to remove barriers to care. And we do that by providing the best possible health care available anywhere in the world to the next person who walks in the clinic at Veterans Recovery Resources.
Well done. Well done. And people, if you call your state legislators, you talk to your elected officials, it's Veterans Recovery Resources. What you want to, kind of the message, if somebody, you've moved them to do something here, when they call them, they should say that coming up on Tuesday.
That's right. We would like your support for Veterans Recovery Resources, first of all, our adjustment to the state health plan, and then ultimately, because it's not over when we get the adjustment, we still need a certificate.
A certificate of need, y'all, and y'all have heard that discussion on this show that folks like John can't do this until the state says there's need, even though he's rolled out these stats and we look at this need.
That's correct. I would not be a good executive director if I didn't say, we've got a budget right now of about $8 million. It's gone up because of COVID and supply chains and labor. Right now, we've got a funding gap of about $1.8 million to build this facility.
Okay.
So we got to fill that gap.
Yeah.
And we're looking for that as well. And then as soon as we open it, we just got this large federal grant for our outpatient clinic. We're very hopeful and we're very optimistic that we'll get that type of funding, but we got to get startup money to open this thing.
Right, to get them to then fund it.
So we do need money. But most importantly, right now, you know, we need the State Health Coordinating Council to approve our adjustment.
Need them to say yes.
Yeah, this is the next barrier, really. And we're, you know, so we've got a lot of effort going towards getting knocking this barrier down.
Well,
and then we'll knock the next one down when we get to it.
I have no doubt, just as the time we spent together, no doubt that you will knock it down. John, thank you for your service to our nation.
Thank you.
Your continued service to the veterans community. And what you're doing here in Mobile, it means a lot to so many families. We'll get the information up on our social media platforms as well. So you know, when you call your member of the legislature, you can talk about this specifically. All right. Coming right back, we'll wrap it up here on Midday Mobile. Text lines popping here. We'll get some of these texts in as well at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Wrapping it up on this Wednesday. Hey, coming up on tomorrow's show, Ray Melling from 1819 News is going to join me. That and a lot more. And also a discussion of this proposed wetland in the upper part of Mobile Bay. It's something that I've been looking at for a few months here, and it looked like it kind of caught fire in a land yap story and some commentary from Ben Raines. Hopefully he'll join us later this week to talk about that as well. Your text here, Bob says the state needs to rewrite and revise that plan. That's why we're always behind. Also, unnamed texture sounds like this facility is much needed. I think we made that clear. Brian in Fairhope says, my wife and friends of ours are nurses in Baldwin County Hospitals, and they all say the hospitals are always full of people waiting for beds. Let's see. Ben says, it amazes me that the current hospital system can and will try to stop another from entering the market because it might lose money. What if this happened with other industries like fast food and gas stations? And Ben, that's exactly what I've been talking about when we talked about certificate of need. As you look at the, and you can go look at, you know, what John Kilpatrick talked about, look up that list, and I'll just say this, and this is not him, this is me, but look up the list and look at the email addresses associated with the people on those boards. Just look at them and then get, like, tell me what you think. Just check that out and then tell me what you think. It's, you know, and this is something that this is an acute example of what has been an obtuse discussion about certificate of need in our state. This is, once again, I continue to say this, Alabama is in many parts not the conservative state that it says to be. It's not, you know, it talks about Alabama's open for business, we're pro-business, we do all this. Maybe not. Worth looking at. And make sure if you're moved by this, you contact your member of the legislature. Even though they're not in, you know, regular session, they're still getting your emails and phone calls there. All right. And also coming up on tomorrow's show, I do want to talk more about this. I made a lot of notes this morning to talk about the situation that I talked about with Congressman Brooks that it looks like is brewing on the border of Russia and the Ukraine. And this comes back into a discussion. We're talking about veterans right now, and we're looking at another one of these discussions of, you know, where do we go from here? And do you provide Article 5 protections to the Ukraine? Do you bring them in NATO? Does that precede what would happen or not happen with Russia? I mean, remember Crimea. They will do this. They have shown themselves to do this. So what do you do? Do you let it? Do you do it just through sanctions? What do we do? So I want you to keep that in mind. We'll get in that discussion tomorrow. All right, Paul Feinbaum Show on the way in just a minute here. Remember, check us out online, fmtalk1065.com, and the brand new FM Talk 106.5 app. Go check it out at Google Play for Android users or the App Store for iPhone users. Just look for FM TALK 1065. It's actually the first place our podcast posts. So if you want to get podcasts before everybody else, get them through our app and check it out. All right, Feinbaum's next. See y'all tomorrow.